we are kicking off a new series called Joseph. Yes, get fired up. Believe it or not, it is about Joseph. So this big idea for the series, it is about a little bit more than that, but it's the story of Joseph and how it illustrates how to honor God in all circumstances. And it points to the message of Jesus. So, like I said, jumping right in, not just jumping right in from a time perspective, but jumping right in from a topic perspective as well. Today we are looking at honoring God through submission and obedience. Oh, geez. Thanks, Pastor Matt, for that. No, that was just a joke. I said that when he was here, and maybe he's here now. Who knows? But here we go. We got to jump right in with a quote. Warren Wiersbe says, "The story of Joseph is one of the richest illustrations of Jesus Christ found in the Old Testament." So that's how we want to approach this story. You know, one thing that I've learned in my steps as becoming a growing follower of Jesus is just how much God's whole story really makes sense from cover to Revelation, right? Genesis to Revelation, that story of Jesus is found through the scripture. So when we look through these stories of Joseph and Genesis, we need to understand that it will help us see God's providing hand in our lives. He's always providing for us through every high and low. We get to participate in what God is doing. In other words, understanding the story of Joseph truly helps us become growing followers of Jesus because it's an example of God's sovereignty in our lives. So who is Joseph? Let's briefly start with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So if you grew up in church, you probably recognize those names. If you're someone like me who did not grow up in church, I had no idea who these guys were. So they are three important figures in the Old Testament. In Genesis, they are often referred to as the patriarchs of Israel or the three patriarchs. Abraham is often regarded as the true father of the Israelites and is just a central figure to Christianity as a whole. So what we see happening here, there are some things that are laid out before we go to chapter 37. So what we see is in Genesis, God made a covenant with Abraham, promising to make him the father of a great nation. I think in kids' church, there's a lot of songs and a lot of jingles about Father Abraham. Isaac then is the son of Abraham who went on to become the father of twins, Esau and Jacob, and played a crucial role in continuing God's covenant with Abraham. Then we see Jacob being the son of Isaac. And then Jacob has 12 sons who became ancestors of the 12 tribes of Israel. One of those sons was Joseph. So it's important to know how these stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob really set the foundation for this covenant between God's chosen people of Israel in the Bible. So we're going to jump into scripture, Genesis 37, going to start at verse 2. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, this is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Verse 3, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So his father really loved Joseph. He was the favorite. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe, but his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. So in verse 4, we see the first reference to the word hated. First appearance of the word hate. Verse 5, one night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Second reference to the word hate. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, "So you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Third reference of hate. Verse 9, soon Joseph had another dream and again told his brothers about it. "Listen, I've had another dream," he said. "The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me." This time he told the dream to his father as well as his brothers, but his father scolded him. "What kind of dream is that?" he asked. "Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you?" But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. So three times the word hate was mentioned. One time we see that they were jealous of Joseph. Verse 12, soon after this, Joseph's brothers went to pasture their father's flocks at Shechem. When they had been gone for some time, Jacob said to Joseph, "Your brothers are pasturing the sheep at Shechem. Get ready and I will send you to them." "I am ready to go," Joseph replied. Remember that. "I'm ready to go. Go and see how your brothers and the flocks are getting along," Jacob said. "Then come back and bring me a report." So Jacob sent him on his way, and Joseph traveled to Shechem from their home in the valley of Hebron. When he arrived there, a man from the area noticed him wandering around the countryside. "What are you looking for?" he asked. "I'm looking for my brothers," Joseph replied. "Do you know where they are pasturing their sheep?" "Yes," the man told him. "They have moved on from here, but I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and found them there. So what we see early on in this story is Joseph is the dreamer. He's the dreamer. He received a beautiful robe from his father because he was his favorite. And Joseph shared those dreams with his brother essentially, or you might say a little bit irresponsibly. But what grabs my attention the most besides that in this story is that despite Joseph's brother's hatred of him, Joseph was willing to submit to his father and make the trip to find his brothers at his father's request. So what we see in the scripture is that trip from Hebron to Shechem, it was about 50 miles total, 50 miles. And then to Dothan was another 15 miles from Shechem. So he trekked about 65 miles to track down his brothers on behalf of his father, knowing that that his brothers hated him. And early in this story, I think Joseph's immaturity could be considered pretty conceited or maybe naive, but this does not mean that he lacked a desire to truly honor his father and thereby serve God. And that takes me to point number one this morning, that Joseph honored God through submission to his earthly father, and obedience followed. See, the act of submission and obedience are things that just really rub us the wrong way. I think for me, I'll let you in on a little bit of a secret. I'm a pretty stubborn guy. I appreciate that. Thanks, Adrian. My wife gave me an amen in the 9 a.m. She's not here now, but I can be pretty stubborn. And love you too. And before I knew Jesus, I came to know Jesus at 24 years old. I was very stubborn in high school, specifically around sports. I had a problem with submission to my coaches. I respected them, but submitting to them what I needed to do was another story. So what that looked like is when the coach would tell us what we need to do via conditioning, I don't like to run, let's be honest, through practice, through the weight room, through these things that the coach was trying to implement through submission, it just rubbed me the wrong way, and I resisted it. So imagine if the coach was trying to get me to submit to something, and on the other end of it, I was submitting to somebody that hated me, somebody that was jealous for me. Submission in this way was about a better product, like on the athletic field, and it still rubbed me the wrong way. But in the end, when we submitted out of honor and we took practice seriously, we took condition seriously, the weight room seriously, it led to a much better product on the field. The result was winning games, you know, beating the competition. And in a spiritual sense, I think when we hear the word submission, it can even rub us the wrong way as Christians and as believers of Jesus. And the reason why they rub us the wrong way is because our human nature is sin nature. See, when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, our sinless, spotless human nature was transformed into a fallen, sinful nature because of disobedience to God. So when we hear these things, it's like, oh, the flesh doesn't want any part of submission and obedience. And this sinful nature that we're in has been submitted from the fall of mankind. And that's why biblical submission and biblical obedience very much seem unnatural to us. So when we carry an attitude of honor, it goes against what makes our bodies, what makes our lives feel good. So when we have this attitude, it includes things like regard and respect and reverence. And then the actions that we take out of that attitude of honor include praise, submission, and obedience. Just like this morning, we were obedient to the Lord through worship because we have high reverence. Our attitude is high reverence and high regard for him. So the actions that we take revolve around submission and obedience. So let's continue on with this story. We're going to go to 18 through 20. It says, when Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. Verse 19, here comes the dreamer, they said. Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. Joseph's brothers are fueled by jealousy and initially plan to kill him, but ultimately decide to sell him to Ishmaelite traders after throwing him into an empty cistern, which is essentially a big pit. They deceive their father, Jacob, by presenting this bloodied robe and come up with this story and tell Jacob that Joseph was killed by a wild animal. Then we see in this story, and we'll dive into it a little bit later as we go through this journey, but Joseph is then sold for 20 pieces of silver to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, and taken to Egypt. And what I see unfolding through this story is Joseph's ultimate surrender. His ultimate surrender in the face of cruel injustice and callousness. When you look back in the Old Testament, you see stories like these, and they might catch your attention, and you're like, what is going on with these people? What is with all the murder? What is with all the jealousy? Well, you see, this happens with God's chosen people because of the fall of man in the garden with Adam and Eve. And the reality is, sin will always separate us from God. It's been true in Genesis and has continued on that sin has always separated us from God. That's what happened with the fall of humanity, and we needed a savior to come to take our place. Like Joseph, Jesus was sold into slavery when Judas agreed to hand him over to Pilate in exchange for 30 pieces of silver. Remember what this series is about. It's showing an illustration of how much Joseph's life and Jesus' life were the same. And like Joseph, this was Jesus submitting to the will of the Father. See, Jesus honored God through submission to his heavenly Father, and obedience followed. Like Joseph and Jesus, we don't only honor God with what we say, we honor him with our actions that I talked about earlier, attitudes and actions. Those actions include praise, those actions include submission, those actions include obedience, and we see it established in the Bible over and over, and Jesus recognized and honored the Father's will. And through his whole story of ministry, he submitted and came under his authority. John 4, 34. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me from finishing his work. What does it look like to be a church that submits to the will of God? John 5:30, it says, I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. What does it look like to please God? I know what it's like in my life to seek pleasing myself. I mentioned earlier I didn't grow up in church. In 2010, I was at the end of my rope. I was filled with anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts, and all my family tried to help, and all my friends tried to help. But no one really knew the extent of my sin and the place that I was at. I was 24 years old, and my mentor said, man, this is enough. You need to come to church. I said, I will not come to church. Then I did. And it was a service about no matter how deep we are in your pit, that God's arm's not too short to reach you. So at the end of that message, I came up to the altar and I gave my life to Jesus and became a brand new creation, like the snap of a finger. But I didn't know how to walk like a Christian. I thought it was this place that we would arrive to. I thought it was this thing that we would get to where I would wear it as a badge and honor of like, okay, now I'm a Christian. I gave my life to the Lord. Now there's no temptation. Now there, you know, it's just easy peasy, rainbows and unicorns, right? That is not the case. And I'll never forget this moment. Man, it grieves me to this day. But there was a moment I was in a situation after salvation, okay? Hear me on that. This wasn't before. It was after salvation, and I was staring sin right in the face. A decision that was just lustful, sinful, staring right at it. And I was staring submission to Jesus right in the face. Like Corinthians says, there was a way out of this sin. And I submitted to the sin. You know what that feels like to submit to sin. And I remember after I made that decision, I was so convicted because I felt the Holy Spirit trying to mold me into what it actually looked like to be a new creation. That God didn't bring condemnation down on me. He didn't give me guilt. The enemy tried to do that. But what I felt was this, oh my goodness, Lord, I hurt you. This is not what it's supposed to be like. And from that moment on, I knew what it looked like to submit to sin or submit to the Holy Spirit and walk the path of righteousness that is really, really, really hard. But it's the path that Jesus walked on. So I know when we truly submit to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, those little things, to do what's right, to walk in honor, that's how we actually become more like Jesus. It's those little things that lead us by empowerment from the Holy Spirit. And you develop that in your alone time with the Lord. That's why as a church, we talk about the importance of Bible reading plans and prayer and being empowered by the Holy Spirit, because that's where it takes place. That's where you develop into a follower of Jesus. We come together with one another in a setting. We hold each other accountable and we praise God together. And then there needs to be accountability on our half to go out and seek Jesus in our alone time as well. By spending time with him, by reading the word and in prayer. When we do that, we see that Jesus' entire life was in submission to the Father. His entire walk was in submission to the Father. Jesus was oppressed, treated harshly, and yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth, even through betrayal, rejection, and ultimate sacrifice, which we honored. We actually did this morning. when we honored the Lord through what he did on the cross. We see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane with Peter and James and John. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." We see Jesus inviting three disciples into this moment. And in 39, he went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine." Ultimate surrender to the point of death so that we could receive salvation and be raised to life. What a Savior. Like Jesus, Joseph was beloved by his father and obedient to his will, but he was hated, rejected, and sold as a slave by his own brothers. Like Jesus, he was falsely accused and unjustly punished. Like Jesus, later in this story, you'll see that Joseph was eventually elevated from the place of suffering to a powerful throne, saving his people from death. Joseph probably didn't know that in the moment when he was in that pit, but God invited a faithful man whose allegiance to God never wavered to participate in his plan of redemption. Can I get an amen? Amen.
Thanks.
And a clap, let's go. Jesus is good. 1 Peter 2:19, 24, "For God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong, but if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you." Amen. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned nor deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. How did Joseph honor God in circumstances out of his control? How did Jesus honor God when he was sold into slavery? How did Jesus do it all? How did Jesus do it all, and how do we do it? This is where it hits the road. In the waiting, and before we see the end of our story, we must honor God through submission via meekness, humility, dying to self, and suffering. Submitting to the will of the Father is the daily laying down of our lives. And in that pit or in that wilderness, Jesus was in, God can use it to teach us his voice. When we are in that pit or when we are in the wilderness, God will use it as a teachable moment, because remember, the Holy Spirit is with us to help us. So Jesus sees you right now. He sees you through that situation at work. He sees you battling that sickness. He sees you through the parenting struggles. Man, Jesus sees you and he's with you in that moment. Over and over and over, it comes through in the Word of God. And sometimes it looks like there's no way out. It looked like there was no way out for me at 24. But I found the truth of the gospel. And the gospel is, when we submit, there is resurrection life when we follow Jesus, amen? There is resurrection life for your marriage, for your kids' future, for whatever it is, when we walk in submission and obedience. Jesus will sustain us through every season. Philippians 2, 5, 9, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Remember, we talked about attitude then leading to action. So this scripture says, have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born a human being. When he appeared in human form, verse 8, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above every other name, the name of Jesus. See, when we die to ourselves and we seek him in everything we do, we are raised to life, church. The life of Joseph powerfully displays God's sovereignty. I know firsthand that God is always working. When I see things that pop up around me with family or friends, there will be a season of darkness, most likely. It will feel like God is not moving. And then all of a sudden, there's a glimmer of hope. There's a little glimmer of hope. God's sovereignty, he is for us. That's how much he loves us. So keep the hope this morning, church. Joseph honored and remained faithful through submission and obedience. It's about coming under the lordship of Jesus. And the last thing, point three, is a question. So what is the Holy Spirit prompting you to submit to the Lord today? Maybe it's outright sin that you need to submit. Maybe it's a character trait. Maybe it's laziness or discontent. Maybe it's distraction. Maybe it's something on your phone that's keeping you away from your time with the Lord. But it's in those moments he will conform you into his image. That's why we submit those things to God. And let me tell you, I've done it both ways. This is the best way to do it. The other way is nothing but death. And not the kind of death that leads to resurrection. That step into submission is hard, but I'm here to tell you, it can set your family up of freedom for generations and generations. You can change generations and break curses in the name of Jesus with submission to him. It's not easy, but it's glorious and it's wonderful and it is freeing. As Pastor Sam would say, it's time to land this plane. So if you're here and you want to submit something, maybe it's your entire life to Jesus. I want to lead you through a prayer. Maybe you're here and you've like kind of flirted with following Jesus and you don't really understand what it's about. Let today be your day. I remember my day of September 12th, 2010. This can be your day, even as a recommitment. So I'm gonna read this prayer and I would love all of us to read it out loud. You can repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he came to earth, gave his life, shed his blood on a cross for the forgiveness of my sins. I repent of my sin. I believe Jesus rose from the dead so I can be raised from spiritual death and have eternal life. I believe in my heart and I say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for making me brand new. I will never be the same again. Amen. Come on, if you are here and you prayed that for the first time, can you, yeah, let's clap if that's not you. If that is you, can you put your hand up in the air? As a brand new decision or as someone who made a recommitment, we had folks in the 9 a.m. service do it. I just heard a crazy testimony after the 9 a.m. Someone came here for the first time, put their hand up and made that decision to follow Jesus. It is happening around us. Yeah. The ushers have a Bible for you. If you have your hand up, grab that Bible and you can go to the connections rooms. They're at the back of the auditorium. Even if you don't get a Bible from the ushers and you want to make a recommitment or a decision to follow Jesus, you can head there. Guys, Jesus is the best and he is worth it. Let's stand to our feet. If you have stuff that you need prayer about, we're gonna have a prayer team down front that is willing and able to help disciple you and pray with you in that moment. So make sure that you come down here. If you're watching online, you can put your prayer in the comment section as well. If you're new here, make sure that you stop by Connections. If you have any questions about Worship Center, there are people that would love to chat with you back there. And a reminder, tonight, 6 p.m., First Love Night of Worship. We have, it's going to be an awesome time, and it's open for all ages. So bring out the family, bring the kids, that's okay. Our kids need to know about worship too, amen? So bring them out. We have no childcare. Kids are welcome. 6 p.m., we'll see you here. Guys, Jesus loves you. One more time, I'm going to ask you to clap. Give up some praise for the Lord. It's on brand. Guys, thank you so much. Have a great week.